kamenos diates thuros eis ten aulein ten probaton. The one who does not go in, eis er kamenos, this is a present participle from erkamai with eis stuck on the front. Greek loves to stick prepositions on the front of verbs and then repeat them later in the sentence, as we see here. So you've got eis er kamenos, eis ten aulein, which would be go into the fold. But obviously in English we don't talk that way. Or you could translate enter. He does not enter through the door into the fold of the sheep. Thuros is door or gate. I translated it door for mnemonic purposes. The way to remember the noun thura is, think it's very similar linguistically to the English word door, or even more similar to the German Tür, thura. I mean, they're related, and if you can just notice things like that, it makes these words a lot easier to remember. So enter through the gate or the door into the fold or pen of the sheep. Or perhaps in English we would say sheep pen. Consider that as an option for translating genitives, is to just stick the nouns together. Because oftentimes that's all the genitive is telling you, is that these two nouns go together somehow, and it's not really specifying how. So in this case it works very well. Into the sheep pen. Alla anabinon alla kothen ekenos kleptes esten kai leistes. But, again, the one that we're picking up the ha from ha me erza kamenos, ha, the one who goes up alla kothen from another way, ekenos, he is a thief and a robber. Anabinon is the same form as eis er kamenos. It's a present participle, a masculine singular, nominative. And alla kothen is an adverb. Now notice the ending thin on alla kothen. Thin is an ending that often shows up on adverbs, and it means from. Just keep an eye out for thin. So from another way, or the idea is he's not coming through the door, he's climbing up somewhere else into the pen. So ekenos, he is a thief and a robber. In this pericope, we see the word ekenos being used kind of, how do I want to say it? It's not a full-blown vat. It's more like autos. The Greek will do this, the ekenos, and we translate it he. Just a way to refer to the guy they were just talking about. Okay, verse 2. Ha de ezer kamenos diates thures poimen esten ton probaton. But the one entering through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The word for sheep, by the way, probaton, it's kind of amusing. It comes from probino, which means go forward. So sheep are animals that go forward, etymologically at least. This is perhaps a good case for Dr. Veltz's argument that you shouldn't depend on etymology, because not everything that goes forward is a probaton. But anyway, now notice I stuck in a definite article before point eight. That's not there, and I'd like to defend that right now. The one entering through the gate is the shepherd. Whenever you have a sentence that has the verb is, you've got a subject and a predicate. The subject will be definite, and the predicate can be definite or indefinite. Now, let me just give some examples of this in English. You can say, Jesus is a shepherd. So you've got Jesus, the subject, is definite. A shepherd is indefinite. But you can't say, a shepherd is Jesus, unless you're being poetic and just rearranging the word order. Because in a sentence like that, the subject needs to be more definite than the predicate. That's just how language works. Aristotle talks about that. Now, in English, we don't have any problem because we single out the subject by word order. So we know that Jesus is a subject because he comes first in the sentence. But Greek isn't like that. They need another way to signal you which one is the subject of the sentence. When you've got these two nouns and you've got esten in the middle, how do you know which one is the subject? What is being predicated of what? Well, the way they do it is the definite one is the subject, and they make the other one indefinite. They drop the definite article, even if it's supposed to be definite, to signal that that's the predicate. So that's why you can translate this, Jesus is the shepherd. Now, of course, the payoff for knowing that is when you're talking to Jehovah's Witnesses about John 1, and you come across theos ein hologos. The word was a God, they would say. But the point is, the lack of the definite article is signaling not that it's supposed to be indefinite, one God among many, but that it's supposed to be the predicate. That's the only way Greek can show you for sure that this is the predicate of the sentence, is by making it indefinite. And that's what's going on in verse 2. The one who enters in through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Any questions about that? I mean, it's a really handy thing to know. Yeah. Right. I didn't do it in verse 1. The one not entering through the door is a thief or a robber. I mean, I just made that decision based on, well, really, what sounded better, what makes sense. But here it makes sense to me to put in front of shepherd, because we're talking about one shepherd and we're going to find out who that is in a minute. Yeah. Right. But notice what they have to do to get that across. They don't just say the shepherd. They have to say akenos. I mean, they have to stick another word in there to kind of break up the sentence and pick it up again. Okay, so he is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, tu ta hothuroras anoige, kai ta probata tes phones autu akue. The doorkeeper opens for this one, I suppose for him, dative of advantage, if you want to put it in a nice grammatical box, and the sheep hear his voice. You can hear something either in the accusative or in the genitive. Usually, if it's genitive, you're listening to a person, and if it's accusative, you're listening to a sound. But that doesn't work real well here, because it's genitive, but it's a voice, which you would think is a sound. So what can you do? I mean, this is what we have. So the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep kat anima by name and leads them out. Kata plus the accusative can mean according to, which I always find frustrating, because what does according to mean? But an option to keep in mind, and what's going on here, is it simply makes it an adverb. He calls them by name. So in English, you can see he calls by name. How does he call by name? So the by name is modifying the verb call, and it's functioning as an adverb. So kat anima is an adverbial phrase. Kata can do that when it's with accusative. Okay, so then he leads them out. Verse 4. Hatanta iria panta ek bale. When he throws out all of his own, this is a present general condition with an aorist subjunctive. Ek bale is an aorist subjunctive, third singular, which means that's the default. You don't make a big deal about that translating it, because in the subjunctive, the aorist tells you the aspect but nothing about the tense. And that's the normal default way to do it in the subjunctive, is with an aorist. So he just throws them out. Now, the verb is interesting. Balo, it's more violent than we would pick in English. We'd probably say he leads them out or puts them out or something. But here they're throwing them out. And that's a characteristic that Greek has. I mean, they use very vivid verbs, especially balo. Another example would be the word kata bole means foundation. Kata bole would be from throw down. In English, we would lay a foundation. In Greek, you'd throw it down. Well, here in English, we'd lead the sheep out, and now here he's throwing them out. It's just a difference in idiom. So I wouldn't make a lot out of that force of ekbale. So he leads them out. Emprosthen auton poreotai, he goes before them, present tense, and the sheep follow him. Akaluthei is an epsilon contract verb, so this is present tense. The sheep follow him, and it takes the dative, so that's why auto is in the dative. Because, hati oidasen tain phone now too, they know the voice of him. They know his voice. Oida is a defective verb. This is the form here is perfect, but there is no present of oida. And so when you see oida in the perfect, you translate it in the present in English. And if it's in the pluperfect, you translate it in the past tense in English. But here, it's normally in the perfect. They know his voice. Verse 5. Alatrio de ume akaluthesusen, but a stranger they will certainly not follow. In English, if you have a double negative, they cancel each other out. So in English idiom, it would be they don't not follow, meaning they do follow the stranger, but that's not what this is saying. Because in Greek, if you have negatives piled on top of each other, they amplify the negative. So they really don't follow him. They don't cancel out in Greek. Akaluthesusin, you might be tempted to say, is some sort of aorist passive or future passive because of the theta. But in fact, the theta is part of the root of the verb. It's akalutheo in the present. So this is simply a future, regular future tense. Akaluthesusin. They do not follow the stranger. But felxentai apautu, they will flee from him. So they will not follow the stranger, but they will flee from him. Another future tense, felgamai, deponent verb, flee from him. Because uk oidasen ton alatrion ton tain phonain, they do not know the voice of the stranger. Verse 6, tautain tain paramion apen autois ho Jesus. Jesus told to them this parable. It's not parabole, but it's another word that can mean parable. Apen is your regular aorist, active indicative, third singular, from, apon from Lego. Tautain tain paroimion is your regular way of doing these demonstratives. You have the demonstrative tautain, then you have the article, and then you have the noun. This, the parable, but it really means this parable. Ekenoi de uk egnosan tena ein ha elale autois. But they, here again, ekenoi, not really meaning those ones, but a weakened form, more like autoi, they did not know what it was which he was talking about. Now, look at this tena ein ha. There's a word left out. In Greek, does this all the time. There's a tauta left out. They did not know tina what things, this is neuter plural, tina what things they were. It's a singular verb because it's a neuter plural subject, and so that's the exception in Greek. A neuter plural subject can take a singular verb. They did not know what things it was. Or they were, which he was telling them. If you stuck the tauta in, it would be, they did not know what things were those things which he was talking about. Really, if you just kind of translate this as it is, it works. They did not know what the things were which he was talking about. It's kind of hard to explain, or you kind of just get used to seeing this sort of thing, where you have a ha or some sort of pronoun, and you might have to supply another word. But they did not know what the things supplied were which he was talking about or telling them. Okay, verse 7, apen un palin ho Jesus, therefore Jesus again said, truly, truly, I say to you that I am the gate or door of the sheep. I'm not going to go into ego a me because we're low on time, and I assume that you know about that. Verse 8, pontes hasoi eilthon proamu kleptai eison kai leistai. Everyone, as many as came, aorist, regular aorist, third plural, active indicative. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. I skipped a line. As many as came, aelphon, came before me are thieves and robbers. Al uk e kusan auto ta probitu. But the sheep did not listen to them. Akusa is from akuo, and that's an aorist, third plural. So now we've got a plural verb with the neuter plural subject. So this is just not consistent. Just be ready for either one when you have a neuter plural subject. 9, egoimi heithura, I am the door. Through me, eantis eis elthe, if anyone enters. Okay, here we have a future, more vivid construction. If anyone enters, he will be saved, and he will go in, and he will go out, and he will find pasture. Future more vivid takes the aeon plus the subjunctive. Here we have an aorist subjunctive, and that's just the default way to do it. So you just translate it garden variety. If anyone enters. And then these future... Sothesetai, future passive, he will be saved, and he will go in and he will go out from Erkamai, the future. Alausamai is from Erkamai. And he will find pasture. I'd like to just note on helrese, that is from helrisko, find, and this is the future. There is a pattern in Greek that words that where the present is has a sko on the end, like helrisko, the sko only appears in the present. So it drops out in the future here, helrese. There's no sigma kappa omega anymore. That's because another example is gnosko. In the present, that's gnosomai. There's no sigma kappa anymore. The sigma kappas tend to occur in the present tense, and then they drop out in the rest of them. So that I say that just to help you remember or recognize, if you see a sigma kappa omega or something, check it out and see whether it's present tense, because it probably is. Okay, verse 10, the thief does not come except in order to steal and slaughter and destroy. Here we have erkatai, just present tense, and then hina, a purpose clause, and then all of these are aorist subjunctives, third singular. Klepse from klepto, thuse from thuo, which can also mean sacrifice in occultic contents, but here in content, but here slaughter. And apolese is from apolumi, destroy. Again, just quickly, the apolumi, another pattern in Greek is that not only do sigma, kappa, omega tend to occur in present and not other tenses, but also double lambdas are the same way. Apolumi in the present has two L's, but here in the aorist it only has one. Another example, balo in the present has two L's, but the aorist, ebalon, only has one. So the skos tend to be in the present tense, the double lambdas tend to be in the present tense. Just little patterns to watch out for. Then finally, ego eilphon hena zoein echosen kai perisan echosen. I, emphatic, came in order that they might have life and have it abundantly. just a simple purpose clause, only now we have present subjunctive, so there's a little oomph to that. The aorist is the default, so you just, I don't know exactly how you want to get the oomph across. They might have life or really have, I don't know, you know, you have to think about how to do that. Then in 11, we get into the Good Shepherd, but that's, we don't go that far. Just to point out, interesting, Jesus starts off with this thing about the shepherd is the one who goes through the door, the gate, and we're all set up to have Jesus be the shepherd, and then all of a sudden he's the gate. And the shepherd's leading the sheep out to pasture. Now all of a sudden the sheep are coming in through the gate. I mean, so it's a real switch on surprise in this pericope from what you're expecting. But I think we're out of time, and I have a class, so I'll let you go too.